Radio Daily for Weekend Eve. That's right. We're so close. We're so close. Just, you know, don't rob the office today. Okay? People are still looking. Wait till tomorrow. Most people have left. Hi, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks who never encourage stealing, no matter what that sounded like. The folks who are going to be bringing the tea today, well, the man that knows exactly how the youth of America works, that there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Kids play with their joysticks day in and day out. Sure, back and forth.
Sure, just the kids do. Just the kids. Hey there, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Silky.
Thank you. What happened on this fine, fantastical day, sir?
Well, French chemist Joseph Louis Gay-Lussac announced the isolation of the element boron 9 days ahead of Englishman Humphrey Davy, who independently separated boron and made his own announcement on June 30th. Haha, suck it.
In 1808. In 1889, British photographer William Freese Green receives a patent for the first cinematograph camera specifically designed to make use of perforated celluloid films.
1893, the first Ferris wheel is premiered at Chicago's Columbian Exposition, America's third World's Fair. It was invented by George Washington, not merry-go-round. I mean, Ferris.
1948, the first successful long-playing microgroove phonograph records are introduced to the public at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. They're made of non-breakable vinylite plastic, and they play at 33 and a third. That's what that means.
1951, CBS increases its color television programming to 4.5 hours a week.
1969, the final episode of the Doctor Who serial The War Games airs in England. It's both the final episode to be broadcast in black and white and the last to feature Patrick Troughton as the Doctor.
1979, Sony announces the Walkman tape player to the public in Japan. Before the new player is released, the press lampoons the product, predicting that consumers will never be interested in a tape player that doesn't feature a record function.
In all fairness to them, my first Walkman, I made sure did have a record function. 1985, TriStar Pictures releases the sci-fi horror film Life Force, directed by Tobey Hooper, starring Steve Railsback, Peter Firth, Frank Finlay, and Patrick Stewart, and an incredibly talented actress whom they'd bothered not to even put in here.
1989, the Tengen version of the puzzle game Tetris is removed from retailer shelves, and its production has ceased after Judge Fern Smith granted Nintendo an injunction.
And that's why they're like $7,000 on eBay. 1991, Buena Vista releases the superhero film The Rocketeer, yay, directed by Joe Johnston, starring Bill Campbell, Alan Arkin, Jennifer Connelly, Timothy Dalton, Ed Lauder, John Pulteo, and Terry O'Quinn. Very underappreciated film.
I appreciate it greatly. 2002, 20th Century Fox releases the sci-fi thriller Minority Report, directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Tom Cruise. The film is, of course, based on the short story The Minority Report by Philip Dick.
Oh, I didn't realize it was the same thing, because one's called The. 2003, Scholastic publishes the fantasy novel Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix by J.K. Rowling in the U.S. Scholastic sells an estimated 5 million copies of the book to American families in the first 24 hours of its release.
2004, Spaceship One becomes the first privately funded vessel to achieve spaceflight, and Mike Melville becomes the first civilian to pilot a craft into space.
2005, Cosmos One, the world's first solar sail spacecraft, is launched aboard a Volna launch vehicle fired from a Russian submarine submerged in the Barents Sea.
2006, DC Comics releases Week 7 of the comic series 52. The issue features the first cameo of the new Batwoman character, also known as Catherine Kate Kane.
She's a good character. Also in 2006, Pluto's newly discovered moons are officially christened Hydra and Nix, I guess based on Hydrox cookies, by the International Astronomical Union. They were formerly known as Pluto 2 and 3, or P2 and P3, if you're street.
Hail Hydra.
Birthdays.
Chris Pratt, 39 years old, Parks and Rec, Jurassic World, Guardians of the Galaxy. He's a fantastic actor. He's a joy to watch. And he's a religious guy, if you didn't catch up from that award that he just got.
Oh. Juliette Lewis is 45 from What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Natural Born Killers, Strange Days, From Dusk Till Dawn.
Carrie Preston, 51 years old, from True Blood, Person of Interest, and The Good Wife.
Jim Brewer is 51 from Saturday Night Live and Half-Baked, and I think that's it.
Oh, he's got some stand-up specials out there. David Morrissey, 54 years old, the next Doctor, and of course, was the governor on Walking Dead.
Berkeley Breathed is 61, the creator of Bloom County, and yeah, he makes fun of his name more than you do.
hey, man, look, he made one of my favorite Wish for Wings That Work. I watch it each and every year.
Fantastic, Lise.
Michael Gross, 71 years old, Family Ties, Tremors, 100 million BC.
Meredith Baxter is 71 as well, from Family Ties, The Betty Broderick Story, and Dan Versus.
Michael J. Fox. What? No. Lyman Ward, 75 years old. Elm Street 2, Sleepwalkers, Ferris's Dad, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Marriott Hartley is 78 for The Magnificent Seven Ride, Return of Count Yorga, Encino Man, Dr. Fields, and the pilot of The Incredible Hulk, and those wonderful Polaroid commercials with James Garner.
Magnificent Seven Ride was the worst thing that I saw at Knott's Berry Farm. Bernie Koppel, 85 years old, Doc on the Love Boat.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1850, Daniel Carter Beard co-founded the Boy Scouts, which some people are quite upset that girls are allowed into it now.
1921, Jane Russell from The Outlaw, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and Born Losers.
1925, Maureen Stapleton from Airport, Summer 42, and of course, Ma Kelly in Johnny Dangerously and Cocoon,
yeah.
A film I saw once. Once.
On television on CBS, we've got a rerun of Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon, Mom, Life in Pieces, and a rerun of SWAT.
Well, on ABC, we've got The Gong Show and Match Game in 2020, all formatted weird on my screen.
NBC has two new Little Big Shots and two episodes of Marlin.
And Fox has week three of the four, Battle for Stardom.
CW has a rerun of the Hanson Brothers Ghostbusting Power Hour, known as Supernatural, and a rerun of Black Lightning.
Freeform, Greg seems to be onto something with Melissa's case against Roxanne on a new cloak and dagger.
Man, I really like that first episode. AMC has My Cousin Vinny.
CMT, Juliet uncovers an unexpected truth on a new Nashville.
That they're on a different network than they used to be.
Yep.
FXX has Simpsons Marathon with Brother, Can You Spare Two Dimes, Mother Simpson, and Brother from Another Series.
I like how you skipped over FX so you didn't have to say that Pixels was on.
Yeah, no, that was on purpose. FXM has Criminal.
History Channel, Swamp Shark on a new Swamp Mysteries with Troy Laundrie. A big mystery being, how the hell does Swamp get a shark? Huh.
I'm wondering if Criminal is actually the Fiona Apple story or something. Anyway, IFC has The Last Stand.
BBC America will be showing Twins with Schwarzenegger and DeVito. They're twins. Comedy. Hilarity.
Yeah, he's just so much smaller than me. But beyond that, nothing like me. Comedy. Sci-fi has The Last Witch Hunter, which I rather enjoyed.
TNT has the AFI Life Achievement Award for George Clooney with his fantastic work in Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
Jesus, why does he need to get an award? He's already handsome movie star. Anyway, VH1 has RuPaul's Drag Race.
But we're going to be watching that there Lifetime television for women. Because after a man saves the life of a young woman who was attacked by a shark, he begins to become obsessed with her. But when she expresses to him that she's not interested, she ends up being stalked by a hero. Who thinks she owes him her life? Saxon Shabrino and Cynthia Gibb star in Stalker's Prey. He knew something was wrong with him based on that name alone.
That was my favorite arcade game.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Chad tells Victor he is the best candidate to run Titan. And Sonny's all like, nuh-uh. Kayla is caught while snooping around Kate's room. I mean, why would you do that? Nothing interesting ever happens in Kate's room. Steve blasts Stefan for what he did to Abby. I mean, you know, people go to jail for stuff like that, right? Hope is relieved to hear from Sierra. Tells her, come on, baby, come on home. We can watch a marathon of happy days. Even Chips, hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, no, there's not. But there could be if you send one to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or a voicemail to 510-GRD-CREW. Other than that, I guess we'll just have to skip this segment like we're doing now.
If you want to check out something really cool, you need to tune in to the TriTac Podcast. What's that you say? TriTac? What's a TriTac? TriTac is one of the oldest role-playing companies around. They make games like
Friendsworth, Euro 13, FTL 2440, Incursion, Hardwired Hinterland,
Weird Zone,
Beach Bunny Bimbos with Blasters.
Designed for D20 and Savage Worlds, these games will kick your dice into overdrive. Whether you want to combat the denizens of the underworld, travel the galaxy, get crazy with bimbos, or travel the multiverse and do it all, TriTac has you covered. Go to TriTacGamers.com to see what it's all about. That's TriTacGamers.com. And check out our weekly podcast at TriTacSystems.podbean.com. Or simply enter keyword TriTac in iTunes. You're gonna love it.
Hi, this is Sherilyn Fenn, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Whew.
Indeed you are, and welcome back to it on a weekend where we get to do some of the things that were mentioned in that man right there's intro.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Clodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
Video games develop hand-eye coordination and make kids into better human beings.
You shotten herring!
You are a scurvy louse. You are a slop bucket. You are a pus sludge.
Why do you have to read that in here? I'm trying to play a game.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Hey, you're right. There was a Last Starfighter thing in there. Oh, yeah, games. There's stuff out today. What can we play, yo, so you can play with your joystick?
Mucinex. It's a rhythm music game for Switch. I'm assuming it's a product tie-in.
Get rid of your mucus while you jam. Yeah, Minecraft. Get this for your kids so you don't have to worry about stepping on those damn Legos. It's for the Switch.
Lost in Harmony. It's a musical runner game for the Switch.
Oh, this game is just drawful. Drawful 2, a standalone sequel to the Jackbox Party Pack hit Drawful, adding a new series of ridiculous prompts and many new gameplay features for the Switch.
Gunbird 2, it's a scrolling shooter for the Dreamcast. What? But it's got to be for a new system. Why, yes, it is. Gunbird lets you choose one of seven characters from magician to a combat android to battle God, oddly an elephant, and his angels. Actually, it's an army of frogs. It's available for the Switch.
You think it's odd that Ganesh is a god? Come on. The Last Blade 2, the second and final chapter of the 19th century Bakumasta era tale of swords and myths, adding some new warriors and techniques. Wait for it, for the Switch.
But is Wesley Snipes in this one?
If we're lucky.
Mario Tennis Aces. The series' debut on the Switch heralds the return of story mode for the first time since Power Tour on the Game Boy Advance for the Switch.
Thank God. I've been waiting for years to have a tennis game with a story mode. The Crew 2. Ubisoft's open world racing game returns with boats and planes added to a refreshed United States for the PS4.
Wise V. Or 8. Lacrimosa of Dana. I had a Lacrimosa the other day with brunch. It's a redheaded swordsman. Adol returns in the 8th entry in Falcom's long-running action RPG series, where he shares the leading role with a woman named Dana. For the Switch.
Lumines Puzzle Fashion. This music-based puzzle game from Q Entertainment and Tatsuya Mizugachi features contributions from numerous Japanese electronic musicians for the Switch, PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
Nier Automata. Auto Tomato. It's an action role-playing game for the Xbox One.
George Clooney's in that? The Blob. Mix and match colors to paint the world and defeat the evil INKT Corporation. Inksy. It's a colorful splatformer from THQ for the Switch.
Cubicolor, a puzzle game which has players navigating a colored cube through 150 stages for the Switch.
About time they made a sequel. Angels of Death, an adventure RPG game for the Switch. Apparently death is involved, as are angels.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Turns out not only is Alex Kurtzman Star Trek Discovery's new showrunner, he's just signed a new deal with CBS that could usher in multiple new Star Trek shows. So hold on to your butts. Kurtzman has inked a $25 million deal with CBS as part of a 5-year plan to bring more shows. 5 series are currently in development. A teen-oriented series set at Starfleet Academy, known as the show that Wesley should have got, from Stephanie Savage and Josh Schwartz, the people that made Marvel's Runaways and the Dynasty reboot. A limited series with a currently confidential plot, so it's about Section 31. A limited series based around the beloved character Khan from the original Star Trek classic film The Wrath of Khan. Something that's been rumored for a while, spearheaded by Nicholas Meyer. Star Trek Origins Khan? I don't know. An animated series with another currently confidential plot, and Discovery's opening is perfect for a cartoon. So yeah, the best part, one show in this new deal could see Sir Patrick Stewart's Jean-Luc Picard, both Kurtzman and producer Akiva Goldsman, who departed Discovery at the first season, are attached to that series, which will be led by Stewart reprising his role as Picard. We'd watch him do anything, especially if it's the lobster suit he's going to be wearing, but even without the suit, it could just be him regrowing the Picard vines. Make it so!
Jean-Luc Picard, how dare you, sir?
Creator of AMC's The Walking Dead.
Robert Kirkman's comic Invincible is finally going to be a series. The show will be an hour-long adult animated series that will air on Amazon. Invincible follows the story of Mark Grayson, the powerless son of the world's most powerful superhero, who begins to develop super abilities after his 17th birthday. Don't judge, he was a late bloomer. Now, the comic launched way back in 2003 and had a 144-issue run, with The Walking Dead appearing to, well, let's face it, it's fallen apart at the seams. Kirkman has now landed the second adaptation of one of his comics. Actually, I guess it's not the third adaptation, but it's his third show based on his, which he will continue to produce other content for Amazon. Man, I really hope Pat Benatar does a theme song for the show.
Love is a Battlefield? Reboots. I mean, I know. And then reboots of Roald Dahl works.
How many times are they going to redo Willy Wonka? Unless it's about a poor OSHA inspector finally leaking the violations that happened there.
What if I told you it's a Dahl remake that isn't Wonka?
Well, gosh, wonderful Billy Flynn, it sounds like you're trying to sell me a sour batch of snozzberries.
Robert Zemeckis, the Oscar-winning director of Back to the Future and Forrest Gump, is in final negotiations to write and direct The Witches for Warner Brothers, produced by Alfonso Cuarón of Gravity and Billy the Bull from The Shape of Water. At one point, Del Toro was attached to direct, but now Zemeckis. Warner Brothers first adapted the 1973 Dahl novel in 1990 with Angelica Houston starring as one of the witches, and that movie was creepy as hell for a kid's flick. However, Zemeckis' take is believed to be more true to the books. A young boy finds himself at odds with several witches who pose as humans. Zemeckis' next film, Welcome to Marwen, stars Steve Carell, will be out in November. Whether or not The Witches comes after that, who knows? You know, when your father was a boy like you and living with me here in Norway? I told him about witches, too, so that he would always be aware. Now, the most important thing you should know about real witches is this. Listen carefully. Real witches dress in ordinary clothes and look very much like ordinary women. They live in ordinary houses, and they work in ordinary jobs. Just look at Dolores Umbridge, or Sabrina, or barkeep B. Arthur.
Comic books, they bring us such joy. Especially when we get a crazy crossover that could never happen anywhere else. IDW's Star Trek comics have already played host to some wacky pop culture crossovers, as we mention every Wednesday, from Doctor Who to the Green Lantern Corps to Planet of the Apes. But the latest crossover is seeing the original Trek crew meet the Transformers in a very fun way. The series, which will run for four issues, is inspired by the aesthetic and continuities from the cartoon iterations of both Trek and Transformers. Of course, the 1973 cult classic Star Trek the Animated Series and the original 84 Transformers cartoon. So yes, Trek fans, that means Lieutenant Emrez is coming face-to-face with some giant transforming robots and making you realize where your interest in Chitara really came from. Now, the series will begin in the Star Trek universe, and the USS Enterprise answers a distress call on the edge of Klingon space, only to find a dilithium mine under attack from the 20th century era jets and helicopters. When a certain red truck shows up to lend a hand, however, Kirk and the crew discover that there's more than meets the eye to their new vehicular friends and foes. So does this mean that Energon cubes are really just refined dilithium? And thanks to the poll we put out on our 900 number, the top two jokes to end the story are, I've got the touch. I've got the power. Damn it, Jim, I'm a truck and a robot.
MoviePass, that business that we can't understand how it's still in business, is getting some serious competition from one group that won't have an issue with economic viability, theater exhibitors themselves. AMC Theaters is launching a discounted movie ticket program, AMC Stubs A-List, where members can see up to three regular movies a week for $20 a month, which is, yes, less movies than you can see from MoviePass. But you'll also get discounts on concessions, express service, no online ticketing fees, and other benefits. The program will allow members to view available movies at any U.S.-based AMC location, and unlike MoviePass, you can see a flick in any format, including IMAX, Dolby Cinema, Real D, 3D, Prime, Big D.
Big D. Ah, so this service is available for fine adult features?
They knew how to get you. Though there is no carryover from week to week, members can see all three movies on the same day as long as you wait 2 hours between showtimes. Repeat viewings of the same movie are allowed. MoviePass. The program will launch June 26th. AMC Stubs A-List comes in answer to rivals such as loyalty programs at Cinemark and the competition, of course, from MoviePass. So, with two companies trying this model, maybe one of them will figure out that magical second step in the process to profit and then help out those poor underpants gnomes. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Go to youtube.com/ Geek Radio Daily, and I wish this was a video so you could see the hard work I go into making the motion of the slash every single time.
Every time.
Every single. You can't stop me.
Puts on a top hat, long curly wigs.
I don't need your Civil War, pal. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com or send a note to 510-GRD-CREW. I mean, come on. You like talking to us. We know you do.
Please.
Good night, suckers.
Program completed by your command.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
What the hell are you still doing here?
Damage averted. All systems operative.
To understand what happened to Killer, you gotta understand who Killer the Dog was. Now, Killer was born to a three-legged bitch of a mother. He was always ashamed of this, man. And then right after that, he's adopted by this man, Tito Leibowitz. He's a small-time gun runner and Rottweiler fight promoter. So he puts Killer into training. Next thing you know, Killer's good. He is damn good. Then he had the fight of his life. Pit him against his brother, Nibbles. And Killer said, no, man, that's my brother. I can't fight Nibbles. And he made him fight anyway. And Killer, he killed Nibbles. Killer said, that's it. He called off all his fights, and he started doing crack, and he freaked out. And then in a rage, he collapsed. And his heart no longer beat. Wow.
I never thought I'd say this to anybody, but you two smoke entirely too much reefer.